The old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Good to have you here, sir. First question, what's wrong with Georgia?
They're ranked number two in the country in 5-0. If that's wrong, I don't know how many people want to be right. They lost 15 guys in the NFL draft, and they've had a couple guys banged up, so you're getting into that depth that's very unproven. And they're playing on the road on the SEC under the lights last Saturday night. We've said many times on this program, we've seen it. Over the last two or three decades, you play a road game in the SEC under the lights, anything can happen.
Griff, I'm going to get back to Georgia, but a lot of areas I want to go. Were you covering Tennessee in 05?
Yeah.
Were you covering that LSU game in 05 down there when Ainge threw that ball? I call it a bouquet toss.
I didn't make that trip. That was the goalpost game. It was when Rick Clawson came off the bench and beat LSU, right?
Yeah. Right. They were down 21-0, won 30-27. And Ainge had that bouquet toss thing where he's about to be pushed out of the back of the end zone for a safety. He just chucked the ball up there, and the LSU defender caught it on what, about the one, stepped in the end zone? That was a unique play. So you weren't on that trip.
I didn't make that. That was a Hurricane game.
That's right.
We had a limited travel squad. Remember then they played that on a Monday night?
That's right. You were exactly right. I knew it was an oddity that year. Anyways, they're about to play again. Anyways, back to Georgia, and we'll jump around a little bit. Where's Georgia needing to get better right now? What's going on?
Well, I mean, they got to get better they got to execute better. I mean, their offensive line calls, some of the throws Stetson made weren't good. Receivers aren't winning one-on-one battles, the backup receivers they have out there. Defensively, they broke some assignments. They missed some tackles. They're not playing good football. You know, as proficient as they were against Oregon and South Carolina when they looked like world beaters, you know, they ran into a team that beat them physically. Missouri beat them physically. And when you're getting beat physically, you know, execution falls by the wayside. When, you know, your quarterback's under pressure, it's not as easy for Stetson when there's a pass rush, right? Welcome to the rest of the league, right? Other quarterbacks have to deal with that every week. And it's tough when you're pressured and when your receivers aren't getting as much separation. I mean, a lot of Stetson's throws come when guys are wide open. Well, they weren't wide open. Missouri brought a lot of pressure, didn't give Stetson much time to throw. The receivers that were one-on-one weren't able to win those matchups, and so it looked kind of ugly for three quarters. I think that's the first time since 2019 that Georgia didn't score a touchdown in the first three quarters. You got to go all the way back, 2019. I think the SEC championship game lost to LSU last time that happened. So defensively, I mean, the defense actually kind of hung in there, kept them in it, because they only allowed Missouri one touchdown, and Missouri kicked a couple field goals over 50 yards. You got to give Missouri credit. I mean, their backs are to the wall. They're at home. They got a chance to shock the world, and they came out there with a very aggressive game plan. And Georgia didn't answer the bell until the fourth quarter.
Is Tennessee even more of a threat in the East than you anticipated?
No, I don't think much changes there. I mean, you know, until Tennessee, Tennessee's defense is, got a ways to go, and you know that win over Pitt doesn't look nearly as impressive as it did that road win. We're going to find out a lot about Tennessee on Saturday. Now, it's not a world beater LSU team. Brian Kelly's done a really good job coaching them up. I wonder about the health of quarterback Jaden Daniels. They caught a real break with this being a noon kickoff or 11 Central time. a big break for Tennessee not to have to play under the lights at Tiger Stadium. I think they'll beat LSU, but this is going to be a game to watch. This is going to be because LSU's defense is decent. It's not great. I watched Auburn pretty much dominate them for a quarter and a half. This is a game Tennessee should win. But Tennessee, like most other programs, we have to see how the receiver comes back from injury. Is he the same guy as he was before? And how healthy can Tennessee stay? Attrition is a big part of the game. So Georgia doesn't play Tennessee until the first week in November. There's a lot of football between now and then. I thought Tennessee would be a threat at the start of the year because of their offense. I still think that. Nothing really changes for me, Bill. This is kind of what I expected from Georgia this year, to be honest with you. When you lose that many guys, that many leaders, it's going to take some time for some of these young guys to grow. And, glass half full. I mean, games like that, when you come from 10 points down on the road in a hostile environment, that's where you kind of learn who your leaders are. That adversity, that experience, you gain confidence from that. Next time you're in that situation, you say, guys, we've been here. We can do this, right? So if there's a positive that comes out of it for Georgia, it's that a lot of those young players, that had not been in those situations, and that's, about half the starters, they gained some confidence and they learned a little bit about themselves.
Auburn's fighting for their lives. I'll give them credit. They haven't quit. They have fought tooth and nail. And as you mentioned, had a chance up 17-0, and it was LSU's defense that actually changed that game on a score from the defense. But Georgia's obviously a lot more talented than Auburn. Is Auburn got enough to fight back here and hang in there?
Well, so much is fluid. We see it from week to week. The conversation we're having, you start out today saying, what's wrong with Georgia? And 3 weeks ago, can Georgia ever be beat again? It just, after they beat South Carolina 48-6, things change quickly, very fluid. Auburn's fluid. Brian Harsin, I went to his press conference yesterday, and, for all the talk and whatever happens and whether it's imminent or not, I'll say this, that guy shows a lot of class and poise. He really does. I just think he was the wrong fit. I think some of this is a reflection on the Auburn football culture, frankly. And, they got to step up and pay players more money. They got to pay players more money than Alabama's paying them. They got to pay them more money than Texas A&M's paying them. You got to pay to play, right? You can't have champagne taste on a beer diet or a beer budget. And you take a look at, where these great players are going. Auburn's not getting them. Now, as far as this week's game, it's kind of a 10,000-foot view comment there on Auburn program. But as far as this week's game, Ashford, this is only his third start. Bill, I don't know what team in the country, if we're going to be fair, is down to their third quarterback and their third center. That's tough. We're talking about Georgia missing one receiver and having another one that's slowed up by turf toe and their offense comes apart. Auburn's down to their third quarterback. And the third center, they had to move three guys on their line of scrimmage because of injuries. That's tough, man. So we'll see what Robbie Ashford does. It'll be his third start. It'll be his first road start, I believe. So how does he respond in that environment? Like you said, Auburn's kept fighting. Do they keep fighting? Or at some point, does it settle in, right? That was a proud, hungry team. And I'm going to tell you, that Auburn football culture, it's alive and well among the fans. And among the people on the campus, it's just, those high-level donors kind of got to get their act together and let the coaches coach and let the coaches make decisions and, push the cash flow across that it's going to enable Auburn to, get the sort of players at Alabama and Texas A&M and Georgia, now Florida, Tennessee. You got to pay to play.
What's wrong with Sparty?
Well, Mel, here's a situation with Mel where he just did an incredible job last year. Michigan State was not as good as what they looked last year, but they had a dynamic running back. Team came together, played really well. I'm not going to penalize Mel Tucker because Michigan State's come back to earth where they're really at. Anytime Michigan State wins more than 10 games, it shouldn't happen. We're talking about Auburn and their budget. Same thing up there. You got Michigan, you got Ohio State, You got Notre Dame. You got to fly over Wisconsin. You got to go by a lot of schools before you get to East Lansing. It's kind of isolated up there in the middle of the mitten, right? So, and their budget's not the same. You know, and so how Michigan State and D'Antonio beat Urban Meyer twice? I was there. I saw it. I still can't believe they beat Ezekiel Elliott and Michael Thomas at Ohio State Stadium with their third-string quarterback. I saw it, and I still can't believe it. Then they beat him in the Big Ten championship game. Came from behind and beat an Urban Meyer team. The Ohio State beat guys who were making their plane reservations. Literally, guy next to me picks up the phone in the third quarter and starts booking his hotel. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "This game's over." I said, "Okay." So nothing's wrong. I mean, this is, you know, Mel's got to find a way to rally the troops and to try to get the confidence behind him. You know, where Michigan State's got a budget. I mean, it just keeps going back to the money. Mel Tucker can coach. Mel Tucker can lead. We've seen it. Took him to a New Year's Six Bowl win last year. It was pretty impressive. I think he's 2-0 against Michigan, too, isn't he? So, you know, this has been a tough season for Michigan State, trying to replace Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Walker. It's been a tough season. And, you know, Michigan State's kind of coming back down to earth.
Can they hang in there at all with the Buckeyes?
No. No, I don't think anybody in the Big Ten can. I think, you know, Michigan caught a break last year, catching Ohio State on a really cold day. But Ohio State's just so uber-talented. Ohio State's the one team outside of the SEC that could compete for the SEC championship every year with their talent level. It's incredible. They have such a talent disparity over the rest of the league, and they've got incredible resources. I mean, the Ohio State is quite a program. I'm going to tell you, it is something else. And really, they've underachieved in my book. I mean, that's a program to me that should be multiple national champion during the college football playoff because they've got an easy path there, easier path there than most programs outside of Clemson maybe. But the talent level is just the disparity between Ohio State and the rest of the league is, you know, pretty significant in my opinion.
Mike Griffith, the AJC's Dog Nation, every Tuesday joins us right here. We'll talk college football with him. Griff, we'll let you wrap it up. So you went to the Auburn press conference. You drove all the way to Auburn for that.
Well, I went to the Auburn LSU game. Georgia's next opponent. I think, you know, we all just assumed it'd be a blowout at Missouri. And as those night games, 7:30 at night, you know, typically when a team gets a blowout win, 7:30 at night, most people are done talking about it by 11 o'clock the next morning. Right, and so you're thinking, well, shoot, if you've really only got about a 7 or 8 hour news window for Georgia beating Missouri by 30 points, you know, we're going to be wanting to talk about Auburn a lot sooner. Maybe a coaching change, or maybe a win over LSU. And so made a decision, and it was worth it for sure. I mean, I ended up watching the whole Georgia game and writing a ton off the coverage of it. Of course, they interviewed the players and the coach on TV afterward as well. So we popped up a lot of stories. But being down there at Auburn and just getting a feel, you know, I covered that program in 93. It was my first SEC beat. And I had a chance to visit with Bruce Pearl, go to Auburn basketball practice yesterday as well. Just the culture there is really healthy. On campus, you know, Auburn fans, Auburn people, I mean, just really deserving, nice community. You just got those folks at the top. Got to get. It kind of reminds me a little of Tennessee. You know, Tennessee fans are so loyal, and man, they do anything for the Vols. But they had that run under Joe DePietra and Jimmy Cheek, that president chancellor. Those guys were just terrible when it came to managing athletics, and you just couldn't get off the ground when the upper administration's making bad decisions. Like, and that's what's happened to Auburn, and they got to figure it out, man, and they got to learn how to sustain their success because they've had success before. They just can't sustain it for whatever reason.
Griff, we'll see you next week, sir.
All right, appreciate it, Bill.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation, joins us.